You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Thursday, August 2nd, 2018, and you are Locked On Jets. This is John B. from GangreneNation.com, your host. If you like the show, subscribe to it on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes. We certainly do appreciate it. Since it's Thursday, we will head to the mailbag. Traditionally on this podcast, our Thursdays are mailbag days. These are questions that have been submitted by listeners in the comment section of gangrenenation.com. Certainly appreciate everybody who has sent questions, so let's jump on in. And our first question actually deals with the Buffalo Bills. Do you think the Bills would be better with A.J. McCarron or Josh McCown? I hear lots of complaints about the McCown signing and the perceived pros and cons of that deal. One benefit that I think that may be overlooked is that McCown as a Bill or even a Dolphin may increase either team's expected wins. I get McCown's a fringe starter, but especially the Bills could make the playoffs with a fringe starter, which is something I don't think the Bills have. Yeah, I'm not sure I am high on the Bills' playoff chances with either A.J. McCarron or Josh McCown. And I'm not sure I necessarily agree with the idea that McCown increases Buffalo's projected win totals, and certainly I'm not sure I agree with the idea that he increases their projected win totals to the point where they could be a playoff team, because McCown's never quarterbacked a playoff team. You know, he's 39 years old, guy's never quarterbacked a team to the playoffs. The fact that the Jets last year, five wins is the most wins McCown has in the season, so you know, I don't think that McCown really moves the needle in a positive direction for Buffalo. I guess if you're asking me of the two, I probably would take McCarron, because I think McCarron, at least in theory, has upside. Although I'm not that high on McCarron, to be honest with you. I mean, they got him for the deal they got him for. I mean, they might as well see what they can get out of him. They might as well roll the dice, because there is at least some theoretical untapped upside there. But I don't like what the Bills did at the quarterback position, because when you got Josh Allen, I'm not sure Josh Allen is going to be ready to play this year. I think they needed a guy who could hold down the fort for an entire season, and I'm not convinced either McCarron or McCown was capable of doing that. And the irony in all of this is that they had a guy who was capable of doing that. They had a guy capable of giving them credible football for an entire season, and that was Tyrod Taylor. And for whatever reason, the powers that be in Buffalo really disliked Tyrod Taylor. I mean, to the point where they benched him for Nathan Peterman last year, which made no sense. I mean, I said that at the time, and I'm not a huge Tyrod Taylor fan, but surely Tyrod Taylor is better than what the Bills had as an alternative last year, and I think he's better than the alternative they had this year. So, I mean, I don't think McCown going to the Bills would have been a huge problem for the Jets. I mean, I don't think the Bills are really going anywhere this year, in all honesty. I think that they've made a mistake. And for whatever reason, they wanted to run Tyrod Taylor out of town, and I don't understand it. I understand why they might be looking in a different direction at quarterback long term, because I do think Tyrod Taylor has a ceiling. You know, I don't think there are some analysts out there. I'll tell you, there are some writers I've seen who love Tyrod Taylor. They think he's a legitimate franchise quarterback. I've seen him scrape top 10, top 15. I'm not sure he's that, but he's better than the other things Buffalo had. And for Josh Allen, Tyrod Taylor is the perfect guy to have in there, because again, he's not a guy who's going to be benched during the season. I mean, unless you do what the Bills did last year with Nathan Peterman, but he's not a guy who's going to be benched in season. He's a guy you can actually count on to get 16 relatively good games. And now what you have is McCarron, who's unproven, and again, I'm not high on him. You have Peterman, who, you know, is a fifth round pick, who was a catastrophe last year when he went into the lineup, and Josh Allen, who maybe pressed into the lineup sooner than is ideal for Buffalo. So I don't think McCown was the correct alternative for Buffalo. I think that sticking with what they had, that was the move. Next question. This one's a tricky one. Which hard luck team would you rather be in the last 40 years? The Jets with 4 AFC championship game appearances, the Chiefs with 4 playoff wins, the Bills with 4 straight Super Bowl appearances, or other? And you see, actually, I guess it's not that hard, because you gave me the option of other, and I mean, I don't like any of those options because I want to win a championship. You're telling me I don't win a championship in 40 years. I'm not happy with any of the options. So I'd go with other, you know, I'd go with a team that's won the Super Bowl. But since you seem to be asking, since the question seems to be asking me, which of the three would I take? I mean, I think you have to take the Bills with their four straight Super Bowl appearances. Just from the standpoint that, I mean, first of all, it is an accomplishment to make the Super Bowl. You know, and second is that if you go to the Super Bowl four straight years, odds are you have some, your team has produced some pretty iconic moments and some pretty spectacular memories. I mean, the Bills have that incredible comeback, 92 playoffs against Houston. You know, they have some other big wins, the AFC title game where they crushed the Raiders. I mean, you at least have some brilliant memories from a great era. It was one of the great eras in NFL history. I mean, it takes a lot to make the Super Bowl once, and to make it 4 years in a row is a really great accomplishment. Now, there's something missing there because they haven't won the championship, but that's at least as close. You know, if you're not going to win the Super Bowl, I guess the most success you can have is making the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I guess I'd probably take Buffalo going there four straight years. Now, there is a trade-off. Their one trade-off there is that the Bills have kind of become synonymous with losing in the big spot. So, anybody who consistently gets to the final round, you know, whether it's in sports, whether it's in, you know, entertainment, where there's an award you're always nominated for, you never win it. The Bills have kind of become synonymous with that, and you become the Buffalo Bills of something. So that's, you know, less than ideal. And I think that was much more prevalent maybe, you know, 10, 15 years ago than it is now. I think that as those teams fade from memory, people kind of are gaining more respect for what the Bills are. Why are we talking so much about the Bills today? I thought this is Locked On Jets. It's the first two questions about the Buffalo Bills. I mean, I appreciate the questions, and I mean, I am the one who answered. I guess the second, this one's on me because I answered Buffalo, so... Let's jump into some Jets talk here. Sometimes it's hard to find the time to go to the gym. We've all got a busy schedule, but Nordic Track has a series of training equipment to give you amazing workouts in the convenience of your own home, including treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers, and strength. You can join high-energy streamed workouts any time of the day without stepping out the door. Join streamed workouts in both studios and exotic destinations around the world. Start your day with a run through the streets of Paris and end with cross-training on the shores of Thailand, or work out on an African safari. Workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to ensure you meet your fitness goals. And a special offer for Locked On Jets listeners, you can get $75 off your Nordic Track by visiting nordictrack.com/lockedon and using the offer code LOCKEDON. Again, visit nordictrack.com, it's NORDICTRACK. .com/lockedon and use the offer code locked on during checkout to save $75 off your purchase. Our next question, are we overstating the need for a mentor for a young quarterback? I always agreed with the approach, but I'm trying to find quarterback successes that had these mentors. There may be some who had a scenario like Darnold McCown, but I'm struggling to find them. I would answer that. I think that, yes, I think that the impact probably is overstated. And, you know, look at McCown's career and, you know, good guy, smart guy. A lot of people think he could be a solid coach one day, you know, probably gives young quarterbacks pointers. There have been no success stories from quarterbacks who have learned from Josh McCown. And that's not a knock on McCown. It just shows you that the idea of the veteran mentor probably is a little overrated. You know, ultimately, if you can play, you probably can play. And if you can't play, you can't play. It's not. It comes down to how well you play on the field. It doesn't come down to whether you have another quarterback on your roster who can give you a few pointers. Now, you know, if you're asking me, would I rather have it than not? Yeah, I think it could probably help a little bit. I think having a guy who's a peer, who can kind of take you under his wing and show you this is how you train, this is how you avoid pitfalls off the field. Can that thing help? Sure. And I think hearing it from a fellow player, maybe you can be reached on a different level than hearing something from a head coach. So, yeah, I think, you know, in an ideal world, if all things are equal, would I prefer one to not having one? Sure. But, I mean, the coaches, the quarterback's coach, the offensive coordinator, the head coach, they're going to drill and they're going to work more to develop the quarterback. They're going to work more on technical issues. They're going to drill things into the quarterback that need to be worked on. But ultimately, it comes down to, can you play? Because if you can play, not having a veteran mentor is not really going to impact you. I mean, heck, Aaron Rodgers, you can read up on some of the stories. Brett Favre was the Packers quarterback when Aaron Rodgers was drafted. Favre did not really embrace much of a mentor role for Rodgers. And I don't think you would ever credit Rodgers' success to anything Favre did. Rodgers was just really good. And that's what it comes down to. If you're really good, if you got talent, if you have all the talent in the world, do you think a veteran mentor is really going to help you that much? And if you lack talent, do you think hearing a few pointers from a veteran mentor is really going to turn things around for you? I would say no. So I think there is a benefit to it. I think it's a very small benefit. I think, and it seems like people view this as a huge benefit, and I'm not sure I agree with that. I think what you gain is relatively marginal. I don't think it's an enormous advantage to have that. Next question: do training camp turnovers matter? Well, they matter from one standpoint. They matter from the perspective that a lot of players are competing for starting jobs. So when you turn the ball over, it probably factors into the evaluation. You know, if you're a quarterback and you're in an open competition. I'm assuming the question's about quarterbacks, because I think people are probably wondering about when Sam Darnold's turning it over in camp. So I'm guessing that's where you can forgive me if that's not what the question is pertaining to. I'm guessing that's what it's about. And you know, when you're talking about an open quarterback competition, yeah, I think they matter from the perspective that the coaches will judge that as a negative for a guy trying to win the starting job. And you know, that's true of running backs who fumble, receivers who fumble, you know, receivers who, you know, don't come up with a catch and ball gets tipped and it gets intercepted. It's just it's a negative in the evaluation. And on the flip side, you know, you're a linebacker, you're a corner, you're a safety. Getting an interception will help you. Now, does it matter big picture in terms of the player's development? No. No, it means not. I would say nothing. I'd say it means nothing. I mean, part of you talk about developing young players in practice. Well, that's part of how you develop is you make mistakes there. And you learn. Hopefully what happens is you learn from the mistakes. Every young player is going to make mistakes. The hope is that you learn from them. So that's, you know, you'd rather see the player make the mistake on the practice field and correct it than make them consistently on Sundays. And the other thing I'd add there is, think about training camp turnovers is sometimes it's just you're working at the rough edges of an offense where quarterback's learning how a receiver is going to run a certain route. You're going to have some miscommunications there. And in many instances, receivers bear some responsibility for interceptions. It's something the quarterback always seems to get 100% of the blame, but sometimes most interceptions are some percentage of the blame goes to the quarterback, some percentage goes to the wide receiver, because maybe the wide receiver doesn't run a route well enough, maybe he doesn't fight for a ball well enough, maybe he doesn't win a contested ball. So you're kind of working those things out. The quarterback's kind of learning how the receiver runs the route. Is he going to, you know, when is he going to cut? You're trying to get the timing down. So sometimes these are just issues of timing where, and that's the reason you practice. That's why you have training camp, is so that you work these things out, so that these miscommunications happen in practice and not during the game. So yeah, no, don't get too wrapped up in hearing about turnovers in training camp. Yeah, that's not, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And our last question, should the NFL and the NFLPA come up with a standard rookie contract for all 32 teams, with specifics on how guaranteed money gets paid, what voids guaranteed money, offsets, etc.? Maybe just eliminate the agent until the rookie deal is up? Well, I think that's what they thought they did back during the 2011 lockout. I think that I bet you anything at the time when they negotiated the rookie wage scale in the CBA, they said, well, none of these other details are ever going to lead to a problem because they're so small. And I think this whole Sam Darnold thing, I said this the other day, it shows you that when you put two guys with egos into a room to negotiate, two guys with big egos, they will figure out a way to disagree on something. They will figure out a way no matter how small the negotiation, they will find a way to drag disagreement out of the jaws of an easy negotiation. And you know, I think that if you lock these things down, the teams will find something else to teams and players will find something else to disagree over. I mean, the rookie deal is standardized right now. There's really not much. And, you know, I know you could say, well, we can figure out, we can close these. They'll figure out some other loophole to negotiate over. I don't think it's necessary. And honestly, the number of combative negotiations is marginal. There really are not many. So I think that would probably be a little bit of an overreaction to the Darnold. I don't think the league views things that way. I think you're viewing things from a Jets. I think the question is viewing things from a Jets perspective, where you just went through this acrimonious negotiation and the quarterback missed 3 days of camp. But ultimately, league wide, I think the system's working. I don't think that it's that big of a deal. And do you have to what extent? To what extent do you have to save teams from themselves? I mean, none of these provisions should be enough to make a team dig in and keep the rookie first-round pick out of camp. You know, at some point, I think you just have to stop. At some point, you can't save teams from themselves. So, you know, I don't think it's necessary. I don't think. There's always something you forget. You can say, well, we're going to take these off the table. There's something somebody's forgotten, and they will figure out a way to turn whatever they've forgotten in these rookie deals into a negotiation. So I don't think it's necessary. And honestly, you look at how rare holdouts are these days. Holdouts really aren't that common. And even in this case, I mean, Darnold only missed 3 days. It's not like this wasn't like one of those old school holdouts that we had in the old under the old collective bargaining agreement, where the two sides would dig in for weeks. I mean, outside of Joey Bosa, it's tough to think of many of those. So I just don't think it's necessary. I think it's the system they have now works well for the most part. You have a few hiccups here or there, but I think what they have now just works fine. And rookies are still going to sign agents, because you have endorsement deals, you have other business opportunities. I think it actually would be a bad rookies should have smart people advising them. I think, you know, if you're telling me now rookies don't have any representation, I mean, a lot of these guys would not handle, a lot of guys don't handle money well anyway. But if you don't have somebody who has some experience advising you on how to handle your money, how to set yourself up for beyond your NFL career, then you're just creating even more problems, because we have a lot of issues as things exist right now. So I don't think you're eliminating the role of agents when you do something like that either. Thanks for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe on either iTunes or Spotify and leave the show a good review in iTunes. Hope you have a great Thursday. We will be back tomorrow to close out the week.